Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Professor Warren Binford is about to join us. She is internationally recognized as a children's rights scholar and an advocate, holds a tenured position as professor of law and serves as the director of clinical law program at Willamette University. She was featured prominently in today's Washington Post story about what she saw at the migrant detention facility, Clint, Texas. I will add, this tweet came out from the Washington Post, from the Associated Press, right at the top of the hour. Government moves more than 300 children out of Texas Border Patrol station after report of perilous conditions. The professor saw that. She's kind enough to join us. Thank you, Warren. I appreciate your time. What was the most concerning aspect of your visit?
Well, I think it was the sheer number of children that we've visited. The Flores team has visited a lot of Border Patrol facilities in the 20-something years that we've been doing these inspections. And so we are used to seeing really squalid conditions in Border Patrol facilities. And that's why children are supposed to be moved through these facilities almost immediately, that they are supposed to be there, if they're taken there at all, only for a few hours. And the maximum they're allowed to be taken there is for 72 hours. But what we saw here was over 350 children, infants, toddlers, preschoolers, school-age children, many of whom had been there for over 3 weeks in these horrendous conditions. They were dirty. They were tired. They were sleeping on concrete floors. They were using toilets that were in the middle of the cells, that they were given no access to soap except for the infrequent showers that they were hardly ever given. They were fed instant oatmeal for breakfast, a cookie, and a pouch of Kool-Aid. They were then fed another pouch of Kool-Aid and another cookie for lunch, along with some instant soup. And for dinner, they were given a frozen burrito in a plastic wrap that was thrown in the microwave, and another cookie and another packet of Kool-Aid. The children were not being cared for. They were being expected to care for each other. There was a lice infestation. The children who were in the cell with the lice infestation were told to share two lice combs, and one of those lice combs was lost. The guards yelled at the children and took away their bedding and made them sleep on the concrete floor. The entire cell of children had to sleep on the concrete floor for losing a comb. And then, of course, there was the influenza outbreak. We're seeing one child die a month in these facilities. And when we went there this last week, we discovered why. It was horrendous.
And I'm going to read from the same Washington Post story where it cites a lot of the information, and you're quoted extensively. Last week, a Justice Department attorney argued that the government should not be required to provide these basic hygiene products because none of them explicitly appear in the Flores Agreement, a position that astonished all three judges, a panel from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. What availability are you seeing just for cleanliness, for showers, for the toilets, for the availability to allow kids just to have some decency day in and day out?
Well, for the children who are in the main building, who are being kept in cells in the main building, children were being kept in basically two different areas. One was a metal warehouse that had been recently constructed at the site. And for those children, there were porta potties outside, and the children who were being kept in the warehouse, which had no windows, said, and the children talked about water leaking out of the cooler and, getting towards them on the floor and making them wet and cold and everything. But in any event, the children who were being kept out in this warehouse with no windows reported that if they asked to go to the bathroom too many times, that the guards would get mad at them. The children who were being kept in the main facility in the cells there, which are adult holding cells, have toilets in the middle of the floor, open toilets, and there are some toilets that have like those metal walls, but no doors. So they had to urinate and defecate in front of each other. Yeah. And they would try and cover themselves up with blankets, and they would try and hold blankets up for each other to try and allow one another to have that dignity, that privacy that so many of us want when, you know, when we're going to the restroom.
And these are young kids,
yes,
who are holding up these towels and blankets to give privacy. These aren't 30, 40, 50-year-olds. These are kids who are doing this.
These are kids. And one of the things that was so upsetting to some of the children we interviewed is that when the guards took away their bedding because of the lost lice comb, they had to urinate and defecate in front of each other. And there was no way to protect that, to give themselves or one another that privacy because the blankets were taken away. So it wasn't just that they had to sleep on the concrete floors, but that they lost their privacy when they were going to the bathroom. It was just horrendous.
This facility in Clint, Texas, is set up to house how many individuals compared to how many people are actually there?
So it was originally set up to house 104 individuals, to hold 104 individuals, and those are adults, and primarily male adults is what this was scheduled, designed to hold. If you look at the names of the different holding cells, it's a, male holding cell, adult male holding cell, adult male holding cell. And so when we got there and they handed us a list of over 350 children, we did not know what we were saying. It's like, this could not be right. And we looked at the list, and it was so many young children. There were over 100 children, and many of them were on the first page, which was where the children who had been kept the longest were listed. So we're like, my God, they're keeping these two-year-olds, these four-year-olds, one-year-olds here for 3 weeks and longer. And so then what happened was we asked them, where are you keeping all of these kids? Your capacity is 104. And they explained to us that they recently had expanded the facility. And so, we tried to insist on a tour of the facility so we knew where these kids were being kept. They refused to give it to us. And so afterwards, we drove around the outside of the compound, and we saw this metal warehouse that looked like it was just thrown up. It's something that you would buy at Home Depot, and it had no windows. And we were saying, there's no way that they're keeping children in a warehouse. But in fact, the next day when we went back, we asked some of the border patrol officers, and we also asked the children. And in fact, that's where they were keeping the children, which means that if that is their expansion, then that means that they intended to keep 500 children out there in the warehouse. Mm. And one of the boys told us that there were currently 100 children in the cell where he was being kept. And we looked at the roster and confirmed that there were 100 kids in there. And he said when he had first come, there were 300 children in that cell.
Wow.
300 children.
That's frightening. Professor Warren Binford is with us. She's had a chance to take a look at this migrant camp down in Clint, Texas. It does appear that, at least today, according to this AP report, that some of the kids have been taken away. Professor, do we have any idea the number of kids who have moved through? And it should be, according to the law, as you said, 72 hours. It's moving well past that. Do we have any idea the numbers who are leaving and are reunited with family members once they leave?
Right. So we don't know of any children who have been reunited directly out of this Border Patrol facility. So what the process is that children who are apprehended at the border are being separated from family members predominantly, that almost all the children that I interviewed had come across with an adult family member and a parent, an adult sibling, and an aunt who was raising the child or a grandmother, and they were separated from their caregiver. And then they were reclassified as unaccompanied minors. And so they were then sent to the Border Patrol facility where they were supposed to simply be put into the system, and then ICE or the Office of Refugee Resettlement, the ORR, was supposed to pick up the child and take the child to an appropriate facility. And they're only supposed to be there for 20 days. Now, at that facility, at that ORR facility, that's where the reunification process is supposed to happen. And it literally is supposed to be done in a few days. A maximum, the most complicated cases are only supposed to take 20 days. But what we're seeing with this administration is that they have completely mismanaged the reunification process so that kids are getting stuck at these ORR facilities for 7, 8, 9 months or longer at a cost to the American taxpayer of $775 a day per child. That's almost $1,000 a day per child. And these kids don't need it because last year, 87% of the children that were in ORR facilities, I think it's approximately 87%, were eventually placed with a parent, a family member, or other sponsor in the United States, another adult that their family knew and authorized to take custody and care for this child. So you've got families who are out there ready to take care of their kids in loving, safe homes. And all we need the government to do is to run a quick background check and put that kid on a plane and save the taxpayer money and let us use, you know, the money that's raised for those things in our society where that money is really needed. Let's not waste it on keeping the kids in these facilities where they don't belong in the first place.
Couple last points, and I'll let you go. And I want to hear feedback from folks when we're done with the professor. You can start texting now, 651-989-9226. Do we have any idea the number of kids who are somehow in care of our government who right now we don't know how to locate a loved one? We don't know how to find somebody, like you said, available, because we've seen these estimates of thousands, and it seems like these numbers keep going up whenever somebody steps in and does a full report. And it seems like the federal government cannot completely quantify how many thousands we're talking about.
Well, so there are approximately 10,000 children currently in U.S. custody. And as I said last year, approximately 87% of those kids went to someone who knows them and loves them in the United States. So we're talking about a small minority who you don't have a home to go to in the United States. So really, every child that I spoke to who was verbal was able to tell me who they knew in the United States, and it was usually a parent or other family member who was in the United States, and the child was coming to be with their family. So they had the numbers tucked into their jackets. They had the numbers written on their on bracelets. They had the numbers memorized. These children know who they're going to, and they know how to reach them. All you have to do is ask. So I took out my cell phone, and we just started calling family member after family member after family member.
And you were able to connect them?
Oh, yeah, immediately, because they want to know where their kids are.
And you believe the folks at these facilities have the capability to do it just as easily as you did?
Yes, it's simply a miss. The system is being mismanaged. And as a result of that, the kids are being traumatized, families are being broken up, and the taxpayers' money is being wasted. It's got to end.
Do you think there is culpability on both sides of the aisle? Do Democrats bear some of this responsibility also?
The thing is that, like, I don't think this is a partisan issue. I mean, this is the one issue in the United States that I think almost every sane person can agree about, which is that children belong with their families. Unless the family is abusive or neglectful, children belong with their families. And if a child is separated from their family, you have to get them to their families as quickly as possible. And during those few days when they're with you, you feed them, you wash them, you make sure that they're safe. I think every American can agree on that. So I don't see this as a partisan issue at all. I think this is the one issue that can unite America in this incredibly hyper-partisan point in our history.
Last thing, if people want to help, because I'm getting those texts right now, should or what can they do?
They need to demand that all children are taken out of and kept out of Border Patrol facilities, that these children are placed with their families immediately or almost immediately. You need to get on the phone to Congress. There needs to be congressional investigations about how this happened. And I want your listeners to urge congressional leaders to work with the experts that we've lined up from Harvard and Stanford, pediatric experts who are willing to work on a pro bono bipartisan basis to draft legislation that makes sure that this never happens again.
Professor, thanks for your time, your passion. We'll continue to follow the story.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Professor Warren Binford, some remarkably strong thoughts, fantastic description. She has been there. Okay. We get a lot of good guests on this show. I really believe in that. She was fantastic. And at the end, by the way, saying this isn't about partisan for her. It is up to us to reach out to the powers that be and get something done. I want to hear from people through texts and phone calls. We're going to carry this over to the early part of next hour. This is happening in our country today. Not 20 years ago, not somewhere else. Today, something needs to change. 651-989-9226.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.